scripture today found in Psalm 39. We'll be reading the psalm together. I will begin with the odd verses. Congregation, please respond with the even verses. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Selah. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Selah. Three together. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. Okay, we welcome Jeff to the pulpit and let's turn our ears to the message. My hope is in God.
If you ask a Christian a question, where is your hope? Especially for those who have just read Psalm 39, normally they will answer you, my hope is in God. My hope is in God is a perfect answer. But is it a slogan? Is it just a slogan? By proclaiming, my hope is in God, can a Christian encounter his difficulties in his daily life, will the problems automatically be solved after you say, my hope is in God? What is the implication of saying, my hope is in God? Human life is a process of searching for hope. When you send out hundreds of application letters, but have not received any offers from any company, you will feel hopeless. The feeling is real.
Is it, can I help me for one? It's okay.
When I was young, I was a non-believer. At that time, I studied in a boys' school in Hong Kong, and which is equivalent to grade 7, at the 7th grade and 12th grade in U.S. system. During the 7 years of study, I really want to go dating. Of course, because it is a boys' school, there was no target available. So I wait. I told myself that I have to study hard to enter the university. I imagined that when I study in the university, I could date with my classmate who is charming and beautiful. In 1998, I successfully enrolled in the University of Hong Kong. However, at the first day of my university life, I realized that only seven of my 40 classmates were girls. More unfortunately, these seven girls were excelled in their academic, but not in their appearance. As a non-believer, I felt hopeless in the search of a girlfriend among my classmates. The loss of hope can be problematic. According to some statistics, higher suicide rates are found among the patients with terminal illnesses, especially during the first year of diagnosis. The suicide rate is about 8 times higher than normal. The findings are understandable, as all of us are living for hope, searching for hope. During the first year of diagnosis, the patients may easily drop into the depth of despair. With an illusion of loss of hope, the patients may have a high inclination to commit suicide. Therefore, identifying and finding our living hope, is an important issue. Today, our passage reminds us, where is our hope? Our hope is in God. Before we start, let's bow our head and pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the Bible. May your Holy Spirit be with us. Teach us directly so that we can understand your word. Help us to obey your word for the sake of your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Today's passage is taken from Psalm 39, a Psalm of David. The structure of Psalm 39 is a bit complicated. The first three verses is about the discipline from God. Verses 4 to 5 is about God gives life and also he takes away life. And in verses 6 to 7, it is a confession. David confessed that God is Lord. And then the patterns repeat. In the verses 8 to 11a, it is about the discipline and deliverance from God. In verse 11b, it is about the transience of life, God taking lives away. And in verses 12 to 13, it is a confession. Again, David confessed himself as stranger, as sojourner. He is a ABC pattern. In an other way, to present the ABC pattern, we can put it into a table. Part A is discipline and deliverance from God. It is a pair of opposite actions, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 11a. And the second part is the life-giving and taking away by God. It is verses 4 to 5 and 11b. And in the first session is a pair of confession in verse 6 to 7 and 12 to 13. Let's go to the first pairs of opposite actions of God, the discipline and deliverance from God. It is observed that the term, I was mute, and my mouth, is repeated in verses 1 and 2 and verse 9. In verses 1 to 3, I said, I will guard my way, and that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muscle, while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Verses 8 to 11a, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproaches of the foolish. And I have become mute. I do not open my mouth, because it is you who has done it. Remove your plague from me, because the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs, you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. The emotion of David was mixed. You can find that. He was asking the one who disciplined him for forgiveness. In verses 1 to 3, it's mentioned about the discipline is sorrowful and painful. David was hopeless with the discipline. And the discipline is resulted from his sins. In verse 8, 11a, you can see the word transgressions, iniquity. Verses 9b, the underline. Because it is you who have done it. David pointed out that the discipline is from God. David confessed that he has been disciplined by God because of his sin, because of his wrongdoings. His feelings are mixed with anguish and sorrow. Verses 8 to 11a, David requests God for deliverance. With a confession of his sin, he requests for forgiveness. His request indicates his total reliance on God's merciful deliverance. Let's see the second pair of opposite action in part B, the life-giving and taking away by God. It is observed that the sentence, surely every man is a mere Beth, Selah, repeat in verses 5 and 11b. It is a confession that of the transience of life. Verses 4 to 5, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbags, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely, every man at his best is a mere Beth, Selah. 11b, surely every man is a mere Beth, Selah. David has requested for knowing his extent of lifetime from God. The requests were made based on the fact that God is the Creator who have given him life. However, the transience of life is also made by God. Verse 5, he said, Behold, you have made my days as handbags and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Again, the emotion of David was mixed. He felt angry but hopeless because God is the one who gave him life and also the one who had made his life transient. But David's final confessions on the transience of his life reflect that he admitted his limitation as a human being. His confession indicates that he submits to the absolute authority of God over his lifetime. With the realization of the pairs of opposite actions of God, David was confused and shocked. The compact or complicated structure of Psalm 39 is consistent to the mixed emotion of David. Let's see the third pair, the pair of confession in the third session, verses 6 to 7 and 12 to 13. You can surely, verses 6 to 7, surely every man walks about like as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Verses 12 to 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silenced at my tears, for I am a stranger with you and a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. You can see, it is observed that the emotion of the psalmist, David, have shifted from despair to hope, from the gray to the yellow. In verse 6, you can see it is despair, and 7, you can find hope. And in verse 12, you can see cry, tears. And after the confession, there is a smile. The emotion change in this part. Also, David has said, "My hope is in you," in verse 7. David identified God as Lord in verse 7, and then identify himself as stranger and sojourner in verse 12b. The emotion change in this part after the confessions. So we can at least ask three questions. Why? Why did David say, "My hope is in you"? The second question is, why? Why did David identify himself as a stranger with you? That is God. And a sojourner like all my fathers. And the last question we may ask is, why did David call God as Lord in verse 7? Let's see the first question. Why? Why did David say, "My hope is in you"? David identified God as the source of hope by saying, "My hope is in you." Why did David say, "My hope is in God"? The answer has already given in the structure which we have mentioned up before. Because of the two pairs of opposite actions, God is the one who disciplines and he is the one who delivers. And God is the one who gives life, and God is the one who makes our lives transient. That is the only source of hope. In February, one day, Jason, my boy, was punished by me. The boy was not allowed to pay his lego because of his wrongdoings for several days. I punished him cannot to pay lego for several days. But Jason requests for a waiver during the slow day. As you remember, the slow day, the children have a day off. So he requests for a waiver. He could not find any permission from other person other than me. He had to seek for my forgiveness. Jason cannot seek the grace from his sister. His hope of paying lego is in me, because I am the one who punished him. I am the one who gives him lego, and I am the one who takes away his lego. To Jason, I'm the only source of hope of paying lego. In the same way, because discipline is from God, and we can only rely on God's deliverance. Because God is the one who gives us life and makes our life transient, God is the only source of hope. That's why our hope is in God. That's why David prayed to God and said, "My hope is in you." If our hope is in God, what should we do? Let's learn from David. Let's see the second question. Why? Why did David identify himself as a stranger with God and a sojourner like all his fathers? Verses 12 to 13 contains a pair of requests. The pair of requests apparently contradict to each other. Verse 12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And it is a request for God's hearing. But in verse 13, it is a request for God turning away his gaze. "Turn your gaze away from me." This request is contradicts to each other, apparently. The apparent contradiction echoes with the opposition, the opposite action of God. God has the authority to discipline and has the power to deliver it, of deliverance. God is the one who gives life and the one who makes our life transient. The request indicates the self-identity and better insight is a response to God's authority. I repeat, "I am a stranger with you and a sojourner like all my fathers" is a self-identity. A self-identification of David. It is embedded in the request, which is contradict to each other, apparently, which is a response to God's authority. So, what is the meaning of stranger? What is the meaning of sojourner? Let's check from the Bible. What is the meaning? Who is the one, the first person who used this term as his self-identity? Abraham. Abraham was the first person using the term as his self-identity. He said, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you, and that I may bury my dead out of my sight. This is Abraham. He begged the descendants of Heth for giving him a piece of land so as to bury Sarah. He is the first person to use the term as his identity. And Abraham emphasized that his rights were restricted, and he has not allowed to buy, to own any land, any piece of land, apart from Abraham. Another person used stranger and sojourner in his writing is Moses. Moses, in Torah, he used the term stranger and sojourners, and mentioned, which especially in Leviticus, the terms have been mentioned in the laws of year of Jubilee. And according to the redemption rule of the land in Leviticus 25:23, if Israelites before God, just like stranger and sojourner, they cannot permanently sell the land. They are not allowed to sell the land permanently because God is the real owner of the land. In another verse, in another verses in Leviticus 25:35, the law of helping the poor is built on their tradition of helping sojourners and strangers. It indicates that Israelites has regard the stranger and sojourner as those people who are unable to help themselves, who are unable to support themselves. And so sojourners and stranger are the people who are not the real owner of the land. They are unable to support themselves, and they need other help. So what did David mean when he called himself a stranger with God and a sojourner like all his fathers? Let's see one more reference. Somebody in the Bible has also identified himself with the same term, with the same phrase, in 1 Chronicles 29:15. For we are stranger before you and a sojourner as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. Interestingly, this verse not only used the sojourner and stranger as a self-identification, but also the verse has mentioned about our lifetime is like a shadow, and there is a motive of hope. These topics are found in Psalm 49 as well. Who is this person? 1 Chronicles 29:15. It's David. David himself. David has, in 1 Chronicles 29, David prayed to God after collecting the offerings from the people for the building of the temple. He made a prayer. He identified himself and his people as the sojourners and stranger, as a stranger before God, and sojourner as all his fathers, all our fathers were. In Hebrew, this is exactly the same phrase used in the Psalm 39, verse 12. The prayer of David in 1 Chronicles 29:10-20 helps us to grasp the meaning of the self-identification. 1 Chronicles 29:15 is bounded by verses 14 and 16, but with a common topic. You can see in the prayer, in verse 14, Lord, for all things come from you, Lord, God, and of your own have we given you. In verse 16, O Lord, our God, all this abundancy, and comes from your hand, and is all your own. verses 14 and 16 in his prayer is emphasizing that everything is from God. In light of the prayer of David in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 20, we understand that the self-identification is a stranger, as a stranger with God, a sojourner like all his father, is confessing that everything is from God. Everything is from God, including his wealth. The true owner of the wealth of a person is God. And there, and consistent to other passages found in the Bible, the identity emphasizes the person is has no social connections and no without support. God is the only support. God is the only hope. God is the only reliance. The key points that God is the only hope and God is our total reliance echoes with Psalm 39, verse 7. My hope is in you. When you exit from the highway and stop at the junction of the road, sometimes you may see a person holding a cardboard like this or like this with a mug. Will you open the window and talk with him? No? Of course not, because he is a stranger with you, right? A stranger with you. Holding a cardboard. If you do not open the window, you know the message from him, from the stranger. Sir, I have nothing to boast about. Sir or madam, I need your help. Without your help, I am hopeless, right? This is the message from the stranger. Imagine King David is the one holding the cardboard and admitting to God, Lord, I'm a stranger with you. Lord, I have nothing to boast about. All my wealth belongs to you, and I need your help. Without your help, I am hopeless. How humble David is when he prays to God. Please remember, David is King David. He is a king. The self-identification of David is a response to God's authority. In front of God, David admitted that he has nothing to boast about, and without God's help, he is hopeless. Let's go to the third question. Why? Why did David call God as Lord in verse 7? In Psalm 39, the term Lord occurs three times. In verses 4, 7, and 12. But when you look precisely, only the Lord in verse 7 is L-O-R-D with small letters O-R-D. Verses 4 and 12, you have L-O-R-D with capital letters. For the small letters O-R-D, Lord, with the capital letter L, it is a translation of Adonai, which means master, master. But for verses 4 and 12, the capital letters L-O-R-D is a translation of Yahweh, the personal name of God. Personal name of God. So, instead of calling the personal name of God in verse 7, why? Why did David intentionally call God as Lord, as Master in verse 7. Calling God as Lord is identifying God as his Master. It is an act of submission to God's Lordship. The Lordship is emphasized here. Encountering the opposite actions, life-giving and taking away, discipline and deliverance, David submit to the Lordship of law of God. In light of the New Testament, Jesus has clarified that acknowledging God as Lord is to do the will of the Heavenly Father in Matthew 7:21. not everybody acknowledge God as Lord, will enter the kingdom of the heaven. But he who does the will of his Father, of my Father who is in heaven, will enter. Doing the will of God is affirming the lordship of God. Let's go back to the Psalm 39, verses 6 to 7. The confession of God as Lord is embedded in verses 6 to 7. Again, it is a pair of statements with opposite motifs. There is an opposition between despair and existence of hope. Verse 6 describes the despairs of human life. Not only life is transient, surely every man walks about like a phantom, surely they make an uproar for nothing. But also, the wealth accumulation is meaningless and useless to David. He said, "I amass riches and does not know who will gather them." Warren Buffett is one of the wealthiest persons in the world and in the U.S. In one of his annual letters to his shareholders, he expressed the same despair as King David. He admitted that he is unable to manage his portfolio after his death. He has to abandon his hope. Warren Buffett, the wealthiest person, has no solution. He has no hope. He has to abandon his hope. But David has hope. David found the hope. In verse 7, David said, "My hope is in you." Because after his confession, he confessed the lordship of God. From despair to hope. Verses 6 to 7 highlight that hope is found in God. Hope is found by confessing the lordship of God. Doing the will of God gives us hope. In 2008, Jessica, my wife, got pregnant. Thanks be to God at the first day. In the third or fourth month of pregnancy, we have a normal medical checkup. After the medical inspection, our doctor informed us that the position of the baby cell, it has attached to a position which is much lower than expected, much lower. And that is an improper position. The doctor was experienced. She recommended us to go to register in the public hospital because she was sure that the baby will come out in the seventh month, and which is much earlier than normal and not much earlier than expected. She highlights the cost of living of the baby for the newborn baby. Will be huge if the baby is in the private hospital because once the baby come out, the baby have to put into the ICU, the intensive care center, intensive care unit, and for a very long period of time. So she expected that the cost of living in the private hospital will be huge. Also, she has reminded us, if we give birth at the private hospital and transfer the baby to the public one, the transportation for the newborn baby will hurt the baby. So, more importantly, she reminded us, as the baby was developed in an improper position, the doctor predicted that Jessica will need a lot of blood transfer during the process. And the blood reserve in public hospital is much larger than the private one. So the doctor has made such a suggestion. Having heard about the medical report required on that day, we ask why. We ask God why. We felt hopeless. We fell into the depth of a despair. And we forgot how we said thanks be to God in the day one. Before the penance, we have a habit to go to the prayer meetings every week. Every time after prayer meetings, I felt released from the high pressure of my work. During the penance period, we continue to go to attend the prayer meetings. Amazingly, after the prayer meetings, we were happy again. We are joyful again. Even though the medical report of the regular checkup told us that the prayer has not shifted the self, the position of the cell upward, have not shifted the attachment position of the cell upward, no. But I find that the prayer meetings have shifted our eyes upward. Return our eyes upon Jesus. We have stopped asking why. Instead, we start saying, Lord, may your will be done. Lord, the attachment of the cell is in your hand. No matter the position is proper or not, may your will be done. No matter Jessica needs the blood transfer or not, it is in your hand. We have peace as long as you are with us. May your will be done. With this confession, we are joyful again, just like we have hope. No, not just like. We are joyful because we find our hope. Our hope is in God. The person of God is our hope. The fellowship with the Lord is our hope. When we submit to the Lordship of God, when we say, may your will be done, no matter how worse your situation is, your face still can have a smile, even with tears, because God is on your side. This is the second time I preached this message. I still remember the first time I preached this message in another occasion. The projector did not work right before the sermon. I should be hopeless without the PowerPoint, you can guess. I should be in trouble, but at the last time, I preached with a smile because I have hope in God. This time, when I prepare for this sermon, several challenges come to me during the week. A certain life expectancy of my love, a struggle in my ministry direction, and a potential financial problem in my finance. All these problems and challenges come to me at the same week. The slogan, my hope is in God, has not solved the problems. These challenges are still here today. The solution has not yet appeared at this moment. But I am not hopeless. God is with me. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 39 teaches us that our hope is in God. It is not just a slogan. It is a living attitude. We need to live it out. When we are striving for excellence in our work, we may be frustrated by our career path. We may be disappointed with the bonus of this year. We may fall into a despair when we are unemployed for a long period of time. Remember, do not let your career be your Lord. When we are studying hard, we may feel hopeless when the GPAs are not as expected. Do not let the GPA be your Lord. Our hope is in God. We have to identify the correct source of hope not our GPA, not our career, not our wealth, not our health, but our God. Our hope is in God. Let's be a stranger with our Lord. Be a stranger in front of God means a total reliance on God's mercy and forgiveness. Remember our sinful nature. At the same time, be aware that Jesus' salvation is the only solution to our sin. We can only have hope. We can have hope. We should have hope by seeking God, by being humble in front of God, and by begging for His mercy and forgiveness. We can only have hope by holding a cardboard at the junction of the road. I mean, in our prayers, in every junction of our daily life, whenever we have to make decisions. When we pray, take a humble attitude like David. Be aware of our unworthiness. We have nothing to boast about. Lord, without your help, we are hopeless. With the confessions of our sins, we will be forgiven. We can have the eternal life. By addressing God as Lord, we submit to His lordship. Even if we encounter difficulties in our life, let's say, may your will be done. Even if today you lose your job because of a financial crisis, even if today your best friend in school betrayed you because both of you want to date the same person, even if today your wife tell you she gets pregnant at this age because of an accident, do not feel hopeless. Remember, may your will be done. Even though we may have tears on our face, even though we have questions in our mind, but once we said, may your will be done, we will remember God is on our side. He is walking with us. By approaching God, the real source of hope, by a proper attitude as a stranger with God, and a goal of pleasing God, calling Him Lord, doing His will, you will be joyful in the fellowship with the Lord. You will be satisfied with the person of God. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. From our personal level, to the whole church, to the whole world, we need spiritual revivals from time to time. We need confessions to our Lord in our mind. So, may I now invite you to make a prayer of confession with me. The confession prayers have been printed in the outline. After that, I will make a closing prayer. Let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, you are the only source of hope. My hope is in you. I have nothing to boast about. I know I am a sinner. Without your help, without your salvation, I am hopeless. Lord, you are my master. I have decided to follow you. May your Holy Spirit remind me every day. May your will be done on me in every way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and true. We praise you. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.